Thank you, Steve. Good morning, everybody. Let's keep those Bibles open, please, in Ephesians chapter 5. And Father, we pray that you will enlighten us. We thank you for your holy, your inspired, your infallible word, the Bible. And pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd help us now to understand and help us to act on what we know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, today we're looking at the theme of more alive in the Spirit. More alive in the Spirit. We want to have the Holy Spirit moving among us as individuals and also as a church family as well. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And that word is really important for us right now. Everyone coming alive in Christ more than we've ever been before. There is always more. Jesus is able to pour out more of his Spirit upon us than we've ever known before. And that's the word for us right now. Many churches and many of us, at times, sometimes we're in danger of either neglecting or even rejecting the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit among us. For many people, the Holy Spirit is on the edge rather than at the center. And actually, we want the Holy Spirit to be more at the center, because you know that the Holy Spirit is God, yeah? Just as much God as Jesus is God and the Father. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God, three in one, our wonderful God. We worship him. You know, in Matthew chapter 3, there at the baptism of Jesus, we see the Trinity. We see Jesus standing in the waters of baptism, fully God and fully man. We hear the voice of the Father coming from heaven. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And we also see the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. You know, right in the creation, the Trinity, the God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were moving. You know, in Genesis 1 where it says, let us make man in our image. It's not let me, it's let us. It's a holy mystery, but something so wonderful and profound. How was it that Jesus said we should go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the sovereign Lord. He is God, and we need to recognize that. It was Jesus in John 14 who's promised the Holy Spirit. That unless he went to the Father, he wouldn't be able to send us the Comforter, another Parakletos, someone to come alongside us and not only to be with us. It's more wonderful. I don't know if you've ever thought how wonderful it would be if Jesus was here among us, literally. But I tell you what, it's even more wonderful that the Holy Spirit is among us because he dwells in us. Every one of us carries the Holy Spirit. If we're a child of God, if you've repented of your sins and believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And that is wonderful. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He comes inside us. You have a spirit, your human spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes into your spirit. That's what one of the verses of the Bible I always remember falling in love with as a teenager was actually in Ezekiel 36, where God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and keep my judgments. It's into our spirit, as our human spirit, that God places his Holy Spirit. It's your spirit that gets born again. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. And when you become a Christian and repent of your sins and give Jesus your life, you're asking God to regenerate your spirit. That's what we mean when we talk about regeneration, being born again, having new birth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. But when you come to Christ, he gives you new birth. In other words, your spirit is made new. Paul writes of becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has gone and the new has come. And that's when we become a Christian and the Spirit of God comes to live in the depth and the height and the breadth and the length of knowing God. And there's always more. That's why we talk about coming alive in the Spirit. We come alive. We come to Christ and we receive the Spirit. We receive the Spirit of sonship, adoption, whereby we know and we have that blessed assurance that Jesus is ours and that we know him. But we can also ask the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh. We can ask the Holy Spirit to come and renew us day by day by day. And we had it in this passage, be filled with the Spirit. Go on constantly being filled with the Spirit. It's a wonderful thing. So friends, today we the Spirit of God is not just a force. He's not just an energy. He's not just a good feeling. The Spirit of God is not just enthusiasm. That's not the Holy Spirit, although he can bring enthusiasm, but that's not the same as him. He is a person, the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God is personal. He is God, and he can be grieved. He can be welcomed. We can reject him. We can receive him. He's a person. He's not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person, not just a force. And I wonder today, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Do you know the Holy Spirit? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And how would you know if you were? Let me tell you very quickly, there would be something happening in your life, either, and it could be related to seeing the gifts of the Spirit in operation, and that's a whole topic for another day, but the gifts of the Spirit are wonderful, wonderful, sovereign gifts that God gives to us. Maybe gifts of healing, gifts of prophecy, gifts of leadership, gifts of helping, gifts of administration, all these many, many, many more gifts of the Holy Spirit. So are you using the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God's given you? There's an amazing array here of gifts in this church body that God wants to use you in. So my encouragement to you is to get active in serving the Lord and using the gifts. Don't be passive, but be active. But be zealous, serving the Lord. Get serving, get using the gifts. It may be the fruit of the Spirit in your life that's displayed. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. None of these things come in perfection, but they can all be increased in us. I'm not saying are you perfectly peaceful, but I'm asking, is peace there? Is peace there in increasing measure in your life? That's what the Spirit of God does. And love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, isn't that wonderful? May God make us kind by the power of the Holy Spirit. We haven't got the strength in our own selves. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are these things at work in your life? Is there some evidence of the Spirit of God leading you to be closer and more like Jesus? And there's another way you can see it, and it's through wisdom. Gifts, fruit, and wisdom. And wisdom, there's a beautiful prayer in Ephesians that says, you know, God for asking for the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know him. And God's calling us to wisdom. We're living counter-culturally. The wisdom of this world is not wise. Don't follow the ways of this world and the culture that we live in and swim in and live and move and have our being. We're meant to be different. We're meant to be going. If the whole culture is going this way, then the wisdom of the Spirit would make us turn around and go this way. We're following Jesus, not the world. Friendship with the world is at enmity with God. As Christians, we are a different people. We're a holy people. We're a chosen people. And we're called to be salt and light and live differently. Is there any evidence of anything like that in your life? Because if there is, that's a sign of the Holy Spirit at work in you. And if you're struggling to think of it, then this morning is the morning for you to say, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh with your gifts, with your fruit, with your wisdom. Holy Spirit, I need you. I wonder if we do that. Oh God, Holy Spirit, we need you. And there's just three things I want to lead us in this morning as we consider here. And they are, there's three sets of two words that leapt out at me. And I really felt this was a word from the Lord for us. And in verse 10, open your Bibles, just so you know I'm not leading you up the garden path. Open your Bibles and look yourself. It says there, find out what pleases the Lord. So the first one is find out. Then in verse 14, it says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead. And then in verse 18, it says, be filled. Okay? Just so I know you've got this, everybody say, find out.
Find out.
Find out. Everybody say, wake up.
Wake up.
Be
filled.
Okay, so that's what we're talking about today. And this is, if you want the Holy Spirit to be more at work in your life, here's three things you can be obedient in Scripture. This comes from the Bible. I'm simply the messenger this morning. It says, firstly, find out. In verse 10, find out what pleases the Lord. I love that phrase. There's something active about that. There's nothing passive. Some people are just waiting for the Holy Spirit, and they're sort of thinking, you know, if the Holy Spirit's got my address, he knows where I am. If he wants me, he'll come and get me. You know, that's almost how we live. But no, the Bible says we're called to lean in. What does the Bible say? It says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Did you know that? You've got to do something to grow spiritually. Did you know that? You've got to do something. Everybody said, do something. We're going very Pentecostal this morning. I don't normally do this, honestly. But I feel like we've got to learn this. We've got to learn this. You cannot grow. We cannot grow passively as a Christian. You grow actively. You grow by paying attention to God in your life. You will not grow through carelessness. You will not grow as a Christian. You will not come alive by doing this the same old. By coasting, just by expecting that God will somehow one day break through. No. Those who sow in tears will reap in joy. So find out what pleases the Lord. Find out. I remember the first time I read that, I thought, how do I find out? I want to find out. I really want to find out what pleases the Lord. Does it matter to you what pleases the Lord? Yeah. How do we find it out? Anybody got any thoughts? In here. Find out what pleases the Lord. Read the Bible. It's a good place to start. And as you read the scriptures, you'll hear his voice. The voice of Jesus. And as you grow as a Christian, you'll find out what pleases the Lord by other Christians also. You'll hear the voice of the Lord through other Christians speaking his word to you, through dreams and through visions, mainly through scripture. But there's so many ways we can find out what pleases the Lord. And it starts by us saying, Lord, I want to find out. Lord, I want to grow. Lord, I want to know you more. Lord, many there don't care what pleases the Lord. And they're putting themselves first. And that's a place of danger, carelessness about God. And the Bible here in Ephesians 5 describes the danger that people are in. It says, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any impurity or greed. See there, there's immorality, impurity, greed. These people who are living such lives are not finding out what pleases the Lord. They're finding out what pleases their own flesh. I'm going that way. Now, I'm sure we could all say, I want to find out what pleases the Lord. But are we? Or are we walking in the flesh? Are we just gratifying the desires of the sinful nature instead of finding out what pleases the Lord? And it describes here there is various kinds of ways that we can walk in our own flesh, whether it be sexual immorality. If there's anybody here walking in that this morning, God is merciful. God is so good and merciful. Come to him. Come to Christ for healing and help. The grace of God is here. Anyone walking in impurity, in any kind of sin, Lord Jesus. Anybody here walking in greed? That's a challenge. I find that challenging. Anybody find this challenging? Our culture is so greedy. Greed. Greed's one of those things that we think, oh, that doesn't apply to me, surely. Well, just ask the Lord, Lord, does greed apply to me? How I'm living my life? Am I caring for others? Am I looking for everything for myself and not for others? Greed. May the Lord. There's a warning in this passage. And in fact, let's look at it in verse 5. It says, listen, look at this. For of this you can be sure. Okay, here we go. Fasten your seatbelt. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So there it is in black and white. We need to pay attention. We need to fear the Lord and seek wisdom. We need to forsake sin and run to Christ. Oh God, I don't want to be one who is immoral, impure, greedy, or any other such thing, idolatry. Idolatry is anything in my heart that is first before the Lord. Idolatry. It's nothing to do in our culture with sort of carved idols. You know, we can look at other cultures, such as the ancient culture that this Bible was written in, and think, well, we would never bow to an idol. But actually, loads of us are bowing to idols. Money, success. Sometimes it can be your lifestyle, children. All these things can be idols. Many, you name it. As long as you put it in front of God, it's an idol. And the Bible says, nobody like that is going to inherit the kingdom of God. It's a warning. But a warning in love. God wants you to inherit his kingdom. Do not be found, don't come up short when it comes to the kingdom of God. Paul's writing that warning so that they can sort it out. Find out what pleases the Lord. And I think for me, this phrase is so good. It's like saying, take responsibility for your Christian life. Be a Christian who knows how to eat and drink spiritually. We talked about this on Tuesday night, self-feeding. You know how to feed yourself physically. Do we know how to feed our spirit? Do we know how to feed your spirit like you know how to feed your body? Do we do that? Spiritual knives and forks time. That's why Paul said, I want to give you meat, but you're still on the milk. Oh, that if you could take meat, it would be great. But guys, you're still on milk. You know, we need to get off the bottle in the right sense, I think I did this before, and onto the knives and forks with the Lord, onto knowing how to feed yourself with eating the Bible, eating prayer, eating worship, drinking in worship, prayer, his presence, prayer, all these things, fellowship, commitment to the body of the body of Christ, deep commitment to the church. This is what God calls us to. This is how we grow. So many people are so perplexed as to why they're dry and not growing in their Christian lives, but neglect the basics here. Find out what pleases the Lord. And then it says, wake up. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. Asleep spiritually, or even dead or dry, or in a place where they're just not awake to the things of God. You know that story that Jesus told of the five wise and the five foolish women, who five of them were awake, five of them were asleep, and they were waiting for the bridegroom. And the ones who were asleep, they didn't get in. And those who were awake and had their lamps burning, those are the ones who came into the banquet. God wants us awake. Wake up. Spiritually, wake up. Let's sound the alarm. Blow the trumpet. This is the prophetic. This is what the prophetic is about in the Christian life. It's an alarm clock. And that's when you read the prophets in the Old Testament. They were all alarm clocks to the people of God. Disturbing. But the problem is we put that sign on our door, do not disturb. I want to sleep on. Actually, God is a God who disturbs us in the right sense of disturb. we need to be disturbed. We need to be woken up. What is it about? Someone said he disturbs the comfortable, but comforts the disturbed. And I think there's something, maybe we need to hear the sound of the kingdom alarm clock in all of our lives, in every single one of our lives. Lord, wake up, O sleeper. We can't receive if we're asleep. What can you receive when you're asleep? Nothing. We want to be awake. And then the last word is this, be filled. Find out what pleases the Lord. Wake up. And that's when someone says, I know that I need. All they've got is the sense of need. I need God. I need. Look, it's like that song, I'm desperate for you. I'm not sure how many of us really are desperate for God. Really. Are we? Are we? Am I? Are you? Are you desperate for God? Am I? If we were, things might be different. If we really were. But what I'm sounding this morning is the wake up. But it says then, be filled. Be filled. Don't be drunk with wine. In other words, entertainment won't cut it. Many of us are medicating the lack of the Holy Spirit through entertainment. No, don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Filled. And so my prayer for us today is that that's going to be our prayer. It could be like the first word, find out, is an action. We need to be active in finding out what pleases God. Because we want to please him. We need to be woken up. And then we need to pray. And if you today are saying, that's me. I know that I sense my need of God. I know that I need God and I don't know what to do about it. I don't really know how to connect, how to break through. I don't know how to know the Holy Spirit. Here it is. The Lord has already woken you up if you're thinking about like that. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And all you need to do is ask. Jesus was very clear about this. He says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Because God is not into giving us if we ask in faith. And we come and we just say, Lord, I'm coming, I'm asking for you. And this is not an optional extra for the Christian life. This is the Christian life. It's not like you can be a Christian without the Holy Spirit and some Christians have the Holy Spirit. It's not like that. We're all called. If you're a follower of Jesus, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's it. Be filled with the Spirit, church family. If we're going to see churches multiply, if we're going to see these 130,000 souls in this community touched with the love of God, if we're going to, when we see the one before us, never mind the 130,000, what about the one, like the Samaritan woman or any of these characters in the Bible, Jesus touched their life. It was Jesus ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's the same for us. We need to be filled with the Spirit so that we can then flow out. Jesus said in John 7, he said, if anyone thirsts, let them come to me and drink, and out of their inner being will flow rivers of living water, which he meant the Holy Spirit. God wants to not only fill you, but flow through you. It's remarkable what God wants to do through you. And everybody, so many of us at that moment, we come up with all the disqualifications or all the reasons why God won't use us or why we can't do this or that. Do you know what? Forget all that. God will use you if you're available to him. God loves you so much. He wants to fill you. He wants to give you those gifts. He wants to give you that fruit and that wisdom for living. It's the heart of God. The Bible verse starts here in Ephesians 5. It says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. It says, live in verse 8. Live as children of light. Isn't that a great commission for us? We're children of light. Who are we? We're children of light. We're dearly loved. And from that place of being dearly loved, children of light, filled with the Holy Spirit, we're filled with God. And then when you're filled with the Spirit, the first thing you want to do is give that away somehow. When you know the Father's love, all you want to do is love others. That's how it works. All we want to do is love God. And that's why Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's how do we do that? We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to find out what pleases the Lord. Wake up from being asleep and ask him to fill us afresh. That is how we're going to come alive. That's how we're going to go forward. And we need each other. Sometimes I'm asleep and you need to give me a nudge and say, wake up. Wake up, vicar. Come on. Find out what pleases the Lord. Stop sleeping. I'm serious. I go to sleep sometimes spiritually. Do you? I do. And I need the alarm clock from heaven. Wake me up and get me back filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, friends, today this is for every one of us. We just come and we say, so simple, it's by repentance and by faith, just like coming to Christ. How are you filled with the Spirit? You turn to Christ. You say, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive any kind of any sin in my life, any impurity, any immorality, any greed, anything in my life that's a block. Lord, forgive me. I repent. I turn to Christ. Cleanse me. And now, Lord, fill me. Fill me to overflowing. Fill me, Lord. That's how all you need to ask the Lord. Fill me. I keep asking. Those who go on asking, go on seeking, go on knocking, be the persistent person. God loves persistence. If you don't get filled the first, then, you know, just keep asking. Sometimes God is, I don't know why the Lord does it, but he makes us ask and ask and ask so that he's drawing us after himself, and then he will pour out his Holy Spirit. But friends, let's be those filled with the Spirit. There's nothing could stop a church that's filled with the Holy Spirit. Honestly, nothing will be able to stop you. Nothing will be able to stop us, only if we're filled with the Spirit. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Let's not neglect him anymore. Let's not reject him. We want him. Holy Spirit, we want you among us, in us, filling us to overflowing with more of you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. May we stand. May we stand and let's just respond. We're going to take communion in just a moment. It isn't any more complicated than I've said. It's so simple. I want you to hear the words of the Lord. Find out, people of God, what pleases the Lord. Get out of sin and into Christ. Some of you need to hear that. Find out. Go this week. Do some finding out what God wants in your life. If you're confused, if you're unsettled, find out. Read your word. Pray. Talk to your life group. Say to them, I want to know God more. So some of you today, I want to commission you to find out what pleases the Lord and to forsake your sin. Have done with it. And others of us today, the Lord is waking you up now. Father, wake us up. Stop sleeping. Wake up, church. Every one of us, I'm speaking to every single person here this morning. Does the Holy Spirit need to wake you up? And if he does, you say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Have mercy on me, O God. Lord, I'm awake now. And now you need to pray, fill me, Lord. Fill me. And if there's anybody here this morning saying, fill me, Lord, just put your hands in front of you now. Thank you, Jesus. I believe God is here. God is here. He wants to fill us. And he is eager. He loves you so much. He loves you so much, and he wants to show you the extent of that love by filling you with his Holy Spirit. He wants to baptize you in his power, in his love, in his truth. He wants you to be filled with his gifts, his fruit, and his wisdom. Church, let's receive the Holy Spirit. Oh God, we ask. Just come by faith and ask the Lord. Say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me afresh. Lord, do a fresh work in my heart. Now, I want you to hear, church family, today. It may happen in a moment for you. It may be that the Lord takes you on a journey of seeking him, and it's starting now. And he might want you to ask him every day this week, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And some of you might say, I don't feel anything. Don't worry. Don't worry. Just keep asking. It's God's responsibility to fill you when you ask him. Just keep, the Bible talks about waiting on the Lord. Waiting and persistence and keeping seconds. Other people, it might take you a month. We just don't know, and it's up to the Lord. But this, if you today are asking sincerely, God hears. The Lord is close to those who seek him. So Jesus, fill us, Lord, with your wonderful Holy Spirit and do a deep work. We repent and we come to Christ. We repent of all sin and ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, we're running to you praying, fill us, Lord. Saturate us. Come, Holy Spirit. Baptize us in the love of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Just wait for a moment. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit by faith. Hallelujah. He's coming. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are wonderful. You are wonderful. You are wonderful. Break all the walls down. Break our walls down, Holy Spirit. Every barrier, break them down. And welcome, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We have no excuses. We're leaving them all aside, Lord. Thank you, you love us all. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Thank you, Jesus. Raise up gifts. Bring forth fruit. Help us to grow in wisdom. Hallelujah. Receive the Holy Spirit, people of God. Receive the Holy Spirit. He is here. He is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you, Holy God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We worship and adore you. Hallelujah. Lord, I come. We come. Waiting on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fill me now, Lord. Fill me now. Fill us, Lord. Come. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. Help us, Lord, each day to pray, Lord, come and fill me. Lord, come and fill me. I need you. I love you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. We're going to have some worship now, and we're going to just come and receive communion in just a moment. So